Isn't it amazing to serve this awesome God? And we're going to give this awesome God some glory and some thanksgiving and some praise this evening in our lives. Some of you have prepared testimonies, and we're just going to spend some time this evening in thanking God for what He's done this year. Because isn't God amazing in Shofar Bloemfontein? Hasn't He done amazing stuff in our church? Hasn't He done amazing stuff in our lives? I know in our family, Hester, myself, and Matthew, we just in awe of how good God is to us and just His blessings on our lives. So we're just going to spend some time. We're going to have communion afterwards and just break bread together and just remember again what God has done in our lives, because it's important that we do. Just set aside time to establish milestones in our lives. And that's what we're going to do this evening. And I trust that you'll remember the service, because we're going to really give God all the glory for what He's done in our lives. So if you have got a testimony and you want to share it and you didn't let me know in the week, you're still welcome to come and share it this evening. Yeah, okay. But I just want to share a few scriptures with us before we carry on with Thanksgiving Psalm. I must actually just read from my Bible. Or I can actually, I suppose I can read from there. But there's this amazing Psalm 100, this amazing song about make to the Lord all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing, which is what we've done this evening. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Isn't that amazing? It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. That just confirms again that God has created us. And all those evolutionists out there don't believe that in the creation. There it just says clearly it's not we ourselves that have made us. We are created in God's image. We are His people. There it says again, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Isn't that amazing? This evening you can know that you are the sheep of God's pasture. You are the apple of His eye. You are, He's so in love with you. He so cares for you. He's so excited about you this evening. And then it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Verse 4. It carries on and it says, be thankful to Him and bless His goodness. I sort of put on three things here as to how we must actually thank God. Let's just go back to that one. For who? It's all about give thanks to the Lord. We come and we say, God, it's all about you. Give thanks to Him. It's all about Him. Because why? He's good and His mercies are everlasting. That's who He is. That's God's character. So some of us don't realize that we sort of get caught up in our circumstances and our challenges and our frustrations of life, and we forget about who God is. And when you go out into the nature and you go hike the Golden Gate Highlands there and you just see how awesome creation is, you realize God is good and this creation is perfect. Doesn't matter how challenging your hike is and how steep the uphills are, because it does get tough and you need water and you're tired and everything, but you just realize how awesome it is to climb a mountain and get a different view. And you see into the Lesotho Highlands there, and it was just so beautiful. We left at 5 this morning, and we got up, and the highest point looks over into Lesotho, and it was just so beautiful to be out there and to see God's creation. And that is who He is. He's good. On a high mountain or at a low point in your life, you can still say, God, you remain the same. It's about looking at a low life. That's God, because He is. Secondly, we give thanks to God for what He has done. Verse 2 in Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And that's referring to the previous verse. It says the redeemed of the Lord can focus and say, God, it's all about you because we've redeemed, been redeemed by you. It says He has redeemed the redeemed. He has redeemed, say that. He has redeemed the redeemed. Okay, He has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Some of us need to remember where we've come from. You know, if I think back to 18 years ago when I got saved, I mean, it's just, I'm so thankful to God for saving me from so much stuff. Basically, it's all about the enemy, saving me from the hand of the enemy, which catches us and just takes us to a different road and takes us opposite of what God wants for our lives. But we can say this evening, we're thankful that God has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Isn't that amazing? So some of us need to get excited again about our salvation, about where God has taken us from. He's taken us out of the hand of the enemy. And where is He? What has He done? He's gathered us out of the lands. He's gathered us from the furthest part, from the east and from the west, where we were losing track. Losing focus, He's gathered us and brought us and made us the sheep of His pasture. Isn't that amazing? So we need to remember what God has done in our lives. And all of it is about redeeming us from the enemy. It's a process, because we get caught up in the things of the world and the enemy comes to lie to us and say, but you're not good enough. You are not on the right path. And God says, no, 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 I've put you on a rock. You are on the right path. Don't look at what's going on around you. I have redeemed you and I'm walking a path with you and I will make sure that you stay on the path that I've called you to follow. So just let's remember that and let's thank God for where He's gathered us from. Let's thank God for our salvation and thank God for the process of sanctification in our lives that He's starting and that He's continuing. It's not just a once-off thing. Yes, we're born again, but it's a continuous process of just hearing his voice and becoming disciples. Jesus said to us, go and make disciples of all nations. He doesn't just say, go and make converts and let people just come out of darkness into light. That is part of it. But he said, make disciples, make followers of me. It's not just about being saved from something and into something. It's about being a follower of Jesus, hearing his voice. But that is part of it, removing us from the hand of the enemy. And he's going to continue to do it. But you know what? We need to be thankful. So tonight, I want you right now where you're sitting, remember, think back to the many years back, or maybe it was just a couple of weeks ago. Think back to where you were and to what God, where God has brought you to this place. And even if you're going through challenges this evening, don't focus on that. Focus on the process of salvation in your life that God has started and that he'll be faithful to complete. Amen. Isn't that exciting news? So secondly, we need to be thankful for God for what he has done in our lives. And then thirdly, we need to be thankful to God for what he's doing and what he continues to do. It's what he's doing right now, but you know, God lives in eternity. Does anyone know that? There's no time that limits God. So present, past, future, God sees it all at the same time. So you know what? What he is busy doing and what he's still going to do, he sees it all. So guess what? He's doing something in your life, but you know what? He's still going to do amazing things. So for what he's doing, yeah, in Psalm 107, verse 9, it says, for he satisfies the longing soul. And that's what he's busy doing in our lives right now. He's satisfying our need. That's why we come to church. That's why we worship and fellowship together. Because God comes to satisfy our longing souls. Who's got a longing soul yet tonight? Who's hungry yet tonight? I am. I need God's presence so badly. But when we come and we say, Lord, thank you that you fill my hungry soul with goodness. Who wants goodness this evening? Who wants the goodness of God? If you do want to desire it and then just say, God, thank you for it. I receive it. And guess what? He gives it to you in full measure, in abundance. Isn't that awesome? God is so good. So we need to be thankful to God for what he's busy doing. And then there's another scripture in verse 35 to 38. Yeah, sort of at the end of Psalm 107. Go and read that amazing psalm. It talks about a psalm of thanksgiving. It says he turns a wilderness into pools of water. Isn't that awesome? He turns a wilderness. Now, the Free State needs rain. And if you just go and travel a little bit and you go all over this country, there's certain parts that are desperately in need of rain. And that's the wilderness that God will turn into what? Pools of water. Dry land into water springs. And some of us feel like that in our lives. We feel like we're dry. And guess what? Tonight you're at the right place. Because we're going to just have communion at the end and remember again and just say, God, fill me. Because I'm desperately in need of your fullness. I'm desperately in need of your water. Now, I don't know, the hikers this morning and yesterday when you hiked there, you know, you get tired. And there's nothing like that thirst. Well, it's actually very bad. But when you quench that thirst, there's just that awesome feeling of having water over your dry throat and your dry lips. There's nothing like satisfying that hunger. I mean, that thirst and that where the water comes. And that's what God wants to give us. He wants to give us our dryness. He wants to change it and put water into our souls, put water into our entire beings. He wants to fill us with his water. And then what he says, there he makes the hungry dwell. So he says he turns a pool or wilderness into a pool of water where he makes the hungry dwell that they may what? Establish a city for habitation. And he says they sow fields and plant vineyards that they may yield a fruitful harvest. It talks here about filling us up to the point where we can start to live in abundance, where we can have a habitation, where we can plant a city, establish a city. And then we can sow fields and plant vineyards that they may yield a fruitful harvest. It talks about being fruitful there. And then he says he blesses the righteous. He blesses us that they may multiply greatly. Isn't that amazing? He blesses us so that we can be a blessing. Guess what? There's such a need out there. There's dryness out there. There's bitterness. There's hurt out there. But God blesses us. And we have a testimony to give. And then he says that he will not let their cattle decrease. Isn't that good news? He will not let what you've put your hands to, he will not let it decrease. He will let it increase. He will multiply. Whether you're a farmer, or whether you're an engineer, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a travel agent like my wife, he will make what you put your hands to, he'll make it increase. He will bless you that you can be a blessing to the nations out there. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that exciting this evening? So we must remember God has blessed us and he's given us a testimony that we can go into this holiday time where we go to our families and go to our friends and remember the goodness of God. And then the last scripture, four times in Psalm 107, the writer just pleads with us as people and he says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Four times the same verse comes and just reminds us again and just says, oh, that we must give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And that's what we're going to do this evening. We must give thanks to the Lord for his amazing goodness in our lives. Just because that's who he is. Doesn't matter what we're experiencing. God is good and his mercies are everlasting. But then it says, He does wonderful works. And sometimes we don't see those wonderful works. Sometimes we forget about the wonderful works that God has done in our lives. But this evening, I trust that you're excited. So just shake someone next to you and say that this evening you're going to be inspired by some testimonies here this evening. Okay, so I want to call on Boss Dunnery. You can go first. Dunnery's got a testimony to share. But we're going to hear some testimonies this evening of God's goodness. Amen. Because He has done awesome stuff in the midst of our lives, and He's going to give all the glory or receive all the glory this evening.
Good evening. Recently, I found out that I'm going to need an operation, and the first date that we could get was slightly inconvenient. It would have meant that I would have had to stay in Bloemfontein until the 20th of December before I could go home. And so I asked some of my friends, people in church, some of my other friends from church in the past, just to stand in faith with me that I can get an earlier date, that I might also attend my cousin's wedding. So, and God doesn't just provide what we need, but sometimes also what we would like. And in this case, He came through. I got a new date for the operation. I can leave on the original date that I would have gone in. So, yeah, I'm very happy about that. And it's all to God's honor because... Basically, I mean, how else? That it doesn't just happen by itself. So thanks God for that.
Thanks, Dunry. And then I'm going to call upon Leonard to share testimony of what God has done in his life. So over to you, Mr. Skuman. He was also on the hike.
Ek is 'n bietjie mank. Het dit nou so vroeg in die week al gebeur, waar die Here met my gepraat hier in 1 Samuel 12 vers 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart, for consider how great are the things He has done for you. Ek gaan nou nie ver in my lewe teruggaan nie, maar die afgelope jare die Here regtig dinge in my lewe kom verander. Toe Alistair nou so begin praat, toe besef ek net hoe die... Ek hou nie van wat ek doen in my werk nie, maar ek sien hoe die Here dit wat ek aanvat verander. Ek staan vanaand hier voor julle en die Here seën my finansieel en dit is nie so 'n ding wat ek graag wil doen nie. En dan terug na die naweek toe. Ek wil dankie sê vir die mense wat daar was. Dit is ook great om saam met my sissies en my boeties die Here te kon ervaar en te kan sien ons het 'n gemeenskaplike God wat lief is vir ons. Ek wil eintlik maar net vir julle sê, hou vas in die Here. Dit lyk nie altyd nie, dit voel nie altyd asof hy ons seën nie, dit voel nie asof hy of hy lief is vir ons baie keer nie, maar kyk net terug na julle eie lewens en kyk terug, 'n jaar terug, 'n dag terug, 'n paar maande terug. Ek staan vanaand voor julle as ek is nie heel nie, maar die Here het groot dinge in my lewe gedoen. Ek voel anderster, ek is fisies seer, maar wow, hoe die Here nie gepraat het die naweek nie. Die van julle wat daar was, dat julle kon gehoor het, hulle vra vir my baie keer, hoekom is jy stil? Maar as die tye wat die Here praat, dan raak ek maar net stil, of ek stap miskien 'n bietjie een kant toe, en dan het ons so borrelende enetjie saam met ons gehad, wat alles opgewek maak, en wow, dankie. Ek net alle eer vir die Here gee, vir alles wat hy in my lewe gedoen het, en dat ek hier by julle kan wees, dit is net die Here wat dit doen.
Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, those of you who know Lisa Nell, she's unfortunately can't make it tonight because she's got to go and get a visa in Joburg tomorrow and she's leaving for America in a week's time. Lisa used to play the violin in the band a couple of months ago. She's been very busy with her studies the last few months, but I just want to read her testimony of what God has done in her life. She says, "Yeah, the last 6 months of my life, I learned how blessed I am that I am a servant of God. While I was busy with my thesis this year, which was a really tough year of studying. Those of you who know Lisa, she really had a challenge here at the end of just finishing her thesis. She said it was a really tough year of studying. A few happenings tried to take my joy away from me, especially when my dad died in the middle. I thought I couldn't anymore, but by the grace of God, who is my shepherd, I want no more because His grace enfolded me and friends supported me and gave me wings to fly when I couldn't. I finished my year better than anyone can ever imagine, which clearly states that it was not me, but God who literally carried me through it all. He made me now the most positive and strongest person that I ever thought I could be, and I will serve Him till the end. There is no one like Him. And then she just says, the meaning of Lisa is I surrender. And then she says, today I surrender all to him. And then just the verse, Isaiah 43, verse 1. So isn't that amazing? God has done awesome things in her life. So let's just give God a hand for what he has done in Lisa's life. And then I just want to ask, Gerry, is jy reg om te getuig? Jy het gesê, jy sal ook ietsie sê, so kom sommer nou. And then whoever else wants to share something, please come forward and share. Once Gerry's finished, you're welcome to come and share. I'm sure there are more testimonies here, so.
So, hierdie was nou kwaai onverwags. Ek net so, ja, ek sal getuig en toe, sê Alistair, vat hy dit vas. Maar, ek het vanmiddag in die reen gaan draf en hierdie Psalm 107 vers 35 was net so ongelooflik gewees. Ek kon nie dink aan 'n scripture vir dit wat ek beleef het vanmiddag nie, maar ek het net gevoel, die Here reën op droë grond en dis net so ongelooflike seëning. Ek het die afgelope tyd was dit maar bietjie rof met die studies en so en het gevoel asof ons is in die diep kant ingegooi. In die hospitaal daar, en dis net, ja, dis maar bietjie rof om te sien wat daar aangaan, en, is nou nie gesonde mense waarmee mens werk nie, dis maar al die siek is, en toch het God net, elke dag breek God deur, hy is net so genadig, en in die aftuie lig hy mens net so op, en soos vandag ook, dis net, ja, een week waarin daar baie toetse was, en dit was rof gewees, en dit was net so vrede gewees, so vreugde om dit te kon doen, en net, ja, ek loof en prys die Heer, hy breek deur in ons lewens, en hy laat dit reën waar dit een woestyn is, waar dit droog grond is, en hy laat dit groei, een oerwoud, amazing, ja, so, smaal.
Anyone else, the mic is open, who would like to share testimony, Miranda, sê het baie om te deel.
Ja, ek denk ek gaan vanavond alles kan sê wat ek wil sê nie, ek sal oor 2 weke, wanneer my lewe hopelijk terug na normaal is, sal ek, sal ek rarig, en ek volgende jaar, as allemaal terug is, sal ek rarig testimony volledig sê. Maar net laatst week dit daar gepreek het, dat ek gepraat moes oor familie, en hoe belangrijk ook die kerkse familie is, en ja, dit het rarig, wil ek sê, wow, ek het verstom gestaan die afgelopen tyd. Ek het bykie achtergrond, my boetie moet gaan vir 'n nieroorplanting, en ek gaan my nier vir hom gee. En dit gebeur nou in volgende week. En dit is net soos my wêreld het rarig in een gestort. Ek het nie gedink, so iets kan gebeur nie, en ek toch gedink het gebeur met ander mense, en juist omdat ek in die medische veld is verstaan, dis wat ek doen, ek wil mense help, en ek gaan daar rol kan speel. Nooit gedink het gaan myself tref, en ja, jy gaan ek soos in vir een van die grootste operaties van my lewe nie. Maar ja, soos rarig, ek kan die mense wat nawees om my vrou, my wêreld het in een gestort. Ek het gedink, as al iemand is wat het kan hanteer ook, is het maar in daar verstaan, ek is een sterk mens, ek gaan het kan fight. En dit het nie gebeur nie, en ja, so ek wil net eindelijk eerst en sê, jy is dankie vir die Here wat mense langs my opgerig het, of om my opgerig het, want ek al gedraaid in hierdie tyd, en jy is elke keer, as ek nie meer kon fight nie, as ek nie meer kon loop nie, dan het hulle geloop, en hulle het gefight, en hulle het gebid. En ek wil vir elkeen van julle wat die is ook vanavond, wat saam in die pad gestap het al so ver, sê, ongelooflik dankie, julle het geen idee wat dit vir my beteken nie. Ek kan onthou, ek denk, het was 2 jaar terug, het ek vir Mieke gesê, en sê, ek is net moeg vergee, en ek nie gedink, ek gaan op 'n punt kom, wat ek moeg is vergee nie. Ek het gevoel, jy die saad wat ek saai, is net so op onvrugbare grond, en ek pluk nooit vrug nie, en ek moet sê, in die afgelope tyd het ek die vrugte gepluk van die saad wat ek gesaai het. So daarom wil ek julle ook net encourage julle sê, saai saad, en rarig op die tyd wat jy dit die mense verwag, dan gaan jy die vrugte pluk. En ja, dan die tweede testimonie, die naweek, wou ek ook gaan stap het, was lekker mooi daar en als, en toe raak ek siek. En lieflik, toe moet ek nou in die hotel gaan lê en myself beter dokter of iets, en eindelijk was het net so cool, dat die Here my rarigheid kom stil maak het, en ek het net myself en hom gehad om mee te praat. Ek het absoluut niks anders gehad nie, ek het nie een boek gehad nie, ek het niks gehad nie, ek het wel myself en God wat die Bybel opgehad het, yes, dankie toch. En ja, so daar lê ek toe, en ek het my kamer het toe so uitsig, oor so, dis so koppiekie ding, maar daar is net so 1 rots, dis eindelijk al wat ek kan sien as ek op die bed lê, is dit die rots. En dis so groot rots, en so as Here vir my sê, maar verstaan, ek is jou rots en ek wil jou rots wees. En in hierdie tyd wat alles om jou wankel, verstaan, is ek die rots. En toe ek skrif gekry in 2 Samuel 22 vers 2 en 3 wat sê, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the strength of my salvation and my stronghold. My high tower, my savior, the one who saves me from violence." En dan is weer, "The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. My God, the rock of my salvation, be exalted." En dit is regtig wat ek vanaand wil doen. Ek wil vanaand al die eer vir Here gee dat in moeilike tye en in tye wat jy regtig dink dis belaglik dat hy met jou praat, verstaan, hy maak jou siek om met jou te praat, dan gee hy regtig jou beloftes waarin jy kan vashou en regtig net al die eer aan hom vir dit.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else who wants to share something? Wynand, o, jy was ook. Jy het ook gesê jy wil. Ons sê hulle, ek het so 2 weke terug, as ek so Engels ingooi en dan Afrikaans, dis maar hoe ek is. Anyway, en, ja, ja. 2 weke terug het ek daar of deur 'n moeilike maand gegaan in terme daarvan dat ek is nogal geneig om 'n hele support systeem rondom my op te stel van mense op wie ek kan vertrou en mense wat inspraak my lewe gee en alles. En julle kan verstaan hoekom dit gevaarlik is, want naderhand dan mis jy God in die hele ding. Dis presies wat begin gebeur het. En het so opstaanig gebeur dat al my vriende gaan op vakantie en almal gaan weg en so aan dat ek op die eind alleen was. En deur dit alles het ek nog steeds net vasgehou en toe begin ek net op myself vertrou. Dis ek van, okay, maar volgende jaar is onduidelik vir my, ek weet nie waar ek gaan wees nie, ek weet nie wat nie en so en so en so. En dis ek van, okay, maar maak ek half my eie besluite en dis wat ek nou gaan doen en dis hoe dit gaan wees. En laas week toe het die Here ook net, toe mis ek laas naweek na seminaar te gaan vernoem God se stem te hoor. En toe ek op die seminaar is, toe, as ek sê, okay, ja, is baie cool en alles, en die faciliteerder sê toen dat man, nou gaan ons net so'n bietjie luister, en dan gaan ons bietjie vir mekaar ook luister, bietjie kyk of daar nie, bietjie iemand is wat kom profiteer en so nie. En ek sê, ja, okay, is cool, maar ek is baie kop ingesteld, verstaan, so dis vir my, is bietjie, ja, okay, cool, ek was doen dan nou, en ek sit, en die gokie wat toe vir my, wat luister, hoor toe niks, en ek sê, ja, okay, told you so. En net toe ek dog ek is nou hoe dit is, toe kom al 3 profesieë oor my. En van verskillende mense, en is soos goed waarna ek nie eers gedink het nie, en goed wat ek nie eers wou gehoor het nie. En ek sit toe net daar en ek soos, maar ek nou klaar alles uitgeklaar, en ek nou klaar besluit hoe alles moet wees, en ek ry toe huis toe, en alles is die mekaar, en deur die 3 dae tot by Dinsdag, want dit is gewoon, moes ek met iemand gaan praat het oor een van die goed wat God vir my gesê het. En ek is toe net soos die hele tyd nie, maar ek strakel so 'n bietjie met God, want yes, ek wil nou nie, en ek het nou klaar alles beplan, en klaar alles, en so aan. En God vra net die hele tyd vir my, maar wat kies jy? Kies jy my wil, of kies jy jou eie wil? En die hele tyd moes ek vir hom sê, ek moes al fisies al keuse maak, maar kies jy wil die hele tyd. En ek wil net vanaand staan en net kom sê, maar God is faithful en God is getrou aan alles wat hy doen, en hy het jou best interest at heart. Want Dinsdag nadat ek maar, en ter weet, ek het Sondag, toe kan ek nie meer dink nie, toe is my kop deurgedink, en ek kom toe net na die tyd na hom toe, en ek vraag vir hom, maar ek kan net, ek praat so bietjie met hom en alles, en hy bid net, dat my kop net 'n bietjie rustig raak. En dit was toe so ook, en toe kom het weer met alle gevoelens en so, maar anyway, en Dinsdag toe ek met die persoon praat, toe het God al klaar alles so voorberei, dat sy ook raag gehoor het. En toe praat ons met mekaar oor, en na die tyd, dis soos die enigste keer in my hele lewe wat het gebeur het, en precies na die tyd, toe is daar Filippense 4 vers 6, net daar vrede, soos totaal nal, ek kan net vertel, dit voel soos malweerd, ek staan daar soos, okay, hier is eigenlijk baie cool, en ek wil net kom test voor vanaan, dat God is faithful, en God weet wat hy met jou lewe wil doen. En ek wil net gauw een stukkie lees, wat in Jakobus 3 vers, 4 vers 13 is, as in Engels, boasting about tomorrow. Now listen you say, today or tomorrow we will go this or that to that city. Spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. I just want to, once again, I need to say it in front of testify in front of other believers that God is faithful, God is good, and He will always be, and His will is perfect and good for us. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Wynand. Anyone else would like to share testimony? Let's use this opportunity. Wil jy? Jy mag maar. Is Peter as jy waar daai kant toe gaan?
Elke keer as dit gebeur, dan seker is vir almal, so julle weet dit gebeur dit alles die jaar, dit is regtig so awesome jaar. Maar as ek nou soos terugkyk oor die jaar, baie keer in situasies, en dan kom ek en dan gebeur iets, en dan sê ek, asof jy vir die Here vra, my Here, ek het nog gedoen wat jy gesê het, maar kyk hoe lyk dit nou, verstaan of ek het geluister, Here, en ek was so seker van dit, en kyk waar ek nou, en dis regtig soos die pad wat ons ook gaan stap in die naweek, heeltyd sê ek vir almal, ek dink almal van my later geklap het, maar as hulle sê, hier lyk soos die pad, dan sê ek, geen om of het lyk soos die pad, jy sien jy spoor, van die vorige keer wat ons gestap het, dan lyk het partykeer soos 'n spoor, en as het soos mos, en dan loop allemaal in die verkeerde richting. Of jy begin op die rechte punt, jy is op die rechte pad, jy stap die ribbokpad, en dan even skielik as jy verdwaal, denk jy, maar jy sê, ek was nou op die rechte pad. Maar as jy een oomblik verlore spoorkie, dat is jy op die verkeerde pad, en dan kan jy sê, Here, maar ek het op die rechte pad begin nie, dit maak jy sok nie. Elke keer moet jy evalueer, maar Here, is ek nog steeds voor jy wil hee. Partykeer is daar een slap links of een slap rechts, of partykeer is van die pad een ander draai as wat jy denk, of is wat jy verwag. En dis ook wat so belangrik is om heel te evalueer, wat sê die Here nou? Wat wil die Here nou in hierdie situasie? Wat is die volgende stap? En partykeer lyk het totaal anders as wat ons beplan het. En net wat ek nou net wil getuig van Godse goedheid is, die jaar baie keer dan gebeur daar iets en dan, besef ek, jy, so kan hierdie hanteer, of dis te erg, hoekom doen die Here dit, hoekom flop dit, en die Here vat my toe terug, toe ek, in my span het ek een oukie gehad, en ek was baie erg van hom, maar hy was, jy, was ingewikkeld, hy was een wille paard weer, maar hy, verskrikkelijke sterk leier, maar jy moes maar van hom dopgehou het, want hy sal soos chaos maak, en, dan wat baie keer gebeur, dan in situasies, dan moet ek nou vir hom oorgee, want ek wil, hy moet ook een span kan leie, en hy moet goeders doen, maar ek weet as ek om heel gaan los, dan gaan nog chaos wees, maar ek wil, hy moet goed self leer, ek kan nie vir hom sê, dit nie, want hy gaan, my nie opgeleid, hy gaan moet self sien, oog het, kruid, as ek nie goed communikeer nie, gaan alles flop, en dan gaan niemand weet nie, so baie keer, dan moes ek as spristol geblei het, en dan sien ek, oog het, hier kom nou een foutjie, maar die belangrikste, was altyd Godse plan, dat mense moes bereik word, dat verhoudings moes regbly en so aan. En partykeer was al goed dat ek besef het, as ek hier nou gaan inspring, en self tot die skoolhoof te gaan, voordat hy gaan en sê, hy het nou verkeerd gekommunikeer, ons gaan nie daarte doen, ons gaan dit nade doen, as ek dit nie gaan red nie, dan gaan daar fout kom. En ek het daar gesien hoe die Here hierdie jaar, daar asof hy vir my wil gesê, okay, Liz Marie, is nou jou beurt om te lei, doen jy dit? Maar hoe die Here net partykeer gekom het en my net gesidestep het en dit het vir my uitgesorteer het. Hoe die Here net en was 'n koers, Here, ek wil God dit moet anders uitwerk. En hoe die Here net gekom het en dit net vir my uitgesorteer het. Dit is die een ding wat ek regtig oor bly is. En dan die ander ding is elke 6 maande nog van my lewe na skool moes ek getrek het. Elke 6 maande dan die mense wat ek leer ken het, moet ek maar baie voor sê ek moet my tassies pak en ek moet maar net weer ry. En dis die eerste keer in 5 jaar wat ek langer as 6 maande op 'n plek is. Nou ek het hom getrek van huis, so dit was nie vir my so groot aanpassing, ek trek hom nou weer. Maar dit is my so blessing, want dit was letterlik vir 5 jaar asof die Here wat gehad het, dis daai ding van seek first the kingdom. Elis met die leerkenners vir my, besef dat jy nie mense nodig het nie, besef dat jy heeltyd gaan baai sê, besef dat mense heeltyd gaan weggaan, dat mense nie by jou gaan bly nie, dat ek die belangrikste ding is in jou lewe. En as ek hier om aan my begeerte is om vir mense lief te hê, dat dit net meer langer as 6 maande kan wees, dat ek nie elke keer weet, ek maar dit gaan nou weer weggaan nie. En net met hierdie stap het ek net besef, en toe ek terugkijk oor die jaar, denk ek, God was so getrou. Ek is in Bloemfontein, ek weet, gaan volgende oor die wees. En ek denk het toe oor die mense wat oor my pad gestuur is. En ons stap in 'n klomp keer, almal het omtrent 'n shot gevat. Linda het amper by 'n kraans afgeval en daar was iemand in gegryp en die volgende een het dit oorgekom en daar was heeltyd iemand. En op 'n tyd het ek amper my vinger afgesny en voor ek kan kyk tot Annelindie, klaar besig om toe te draai, my sussie eet 'n appel want sy's duiselig en iemand hou my arm vas want hulle is bang ek pas uit en Leonard het soos alles by hom. Verstaan en ek dink toe in daai situasie toe dink ek, ek was altyd so bang sy alleen en ek so bang as iets gebeur dan gaan jy dit net myself moet uitsorteer en dit is alleen. Verstaan, daar is so en ek het net so gesien God family fonds sort. En nog 'n voorbeeld, nou eendag toe gaan staan ek met my kar sonder petrol, die eerste keer wat dit gebeur. En ek sit daar en ek dink soos flip het, nou moet ek iemand bel. Ek voel bietjie stupid, dis in die hoofpad, almal toets vir my. In elk geval, en ek gaan sit deur my lys en niemand wat ek toe nou wil bel is in Bloemfontein nie of almal is besig, almal is preoccupied en ek bel sy die ding en bel ek vir Esther, ek sê Esther, ek gaan staan met my kar en voordat ek nog klaar vertel, sy lag en sy gee vir Alistair en toe moes alles in Matthew my kom red, maar hulle het, maar die punt is net, daar's mense wat vir jou omgee, en ek kon vir Alistair gebel het, en hy het alles gelos, en toe die aand ook vir hulle gaan dankie sê, toe is hy nog besig om voor te berei, en Esther wil al loop, te besef ek, het was in sy voorbereiding tyd, en hy het alles gelos, want ek was belangrik, en ek dink dit is net vir my so voorbeeld van family, en die Here het net vir my, ek voel net God eer daarvoor, net vir die mense wat vir jou lief is, en die voorreg om vir mense te kan lief is, dit is net so voorreg, en die Here het so voorsien in hierdie jaar, en ek wil met regtig eer vir dit, en ek wens regtig dat elkeen wat hier inkom, regtig family sal ervaar, en sal bereid wees om family te wees, en ek bid regtig dat ons dit sal uitstraal, en dat ons met oop arms mense sal aanvaar en lief sal hê. En ja, sekondêr hulle ondersteuning sal wees na die Here. Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Let's give him a hand. Anyone else? Bobs, kom praat. Ek weet jy wil ook baie sê.
Hallo. Hallo. Okay. Ja, jy sê ek het regtig 'n baie cool jaar gehad. Okay nee, so paar keer hierdie jaar het, en soos, ek wil net gevoel vertel van woensdagoggend, nee, dinsdagoggend, toe, ons het, 'n groot toets geskryf, woensdag, maar nou moet ek soos leer dinsdag, en toe staan ek op, maar ek is so naar, ek kan nie, ek is, en my kop is seer, en dis, verrarig, dit voel soos, verskriklik, en ek stuur 'n boodskap, vir paar van my, klas mense, en het was nie 5 minute nie, ek soos voel amazing, ek voel soos nie meer beweerig nie, niks nie, en dis nie, en paar ander keer hierdie jaar, dat ek soos een seer been, of een random jippijn, of iets, en dan vertrouw ons die Here vir dit, en dit het soos net, dan gaan het weg, dadelijk. Ok, en die ander ding is, Ek maak slegte notes. Okay, ek was altyd bang, die Here gaan nie met my praat nie, en ek gaan nie sy stem hoor nie. En vir al hierdie jaar het, jy's van so voor Junie, en goed, ek was op 'n regtig slegte plek, want dit het net gevoel, jy sien, dit is so droë plek, en goed, wil nie, niks werk uit nie, en niks werk nie, en as ons bid, dan bid ons, maar daar is nooit iets vir my nie, ek hoor, niemand kry goed vir my nie, en toe die Here net so met my kom praat, hy het nooit laat iemand anders met my kom praat, hy het alles self vir my kom sê, en dit was net vir my verskriklik, dit is, die Here wil self met ons praat, en ek kan regtig testify van dit, en dat hy, en hy het regtig hierdie jaar, ek wil net so dankie sê daaroor, en ek is regtig excited om te kan sê wat hy regtig hierdie jaar kom doen het, want goed wat hy kom reg maak het, en verander het in my lewe, en wat die plan wat hy vir my het, is soveel beter as wat ek kon ooit bid of dink, en hierdie stukkie het ek net gekry, dit was omtrent so Junie, dit is toe die Israeliete net deur die, of soos voordat die Egiptenare agter hulle aangekom het, voor hulle deur die see gegaan het, en toe friek hulle uit, want die die Egiptenare het nou gekom, en toe is hulle nou bang, want hulle sê vir die Here, maar hulle het nou al die tyd in Egipte gespandeer, maar gaan die Here hulle nou los? En dis het net vir my, toe sê die Here, staan, kyk vir hulle, soos wat julle hulle nou daar sien, die Egiptenare wat julle nou agterkom, gaan julle nooit weer sien nie. En toe is hulle deur die see, en die see het toegegaan en die Egiptenare het allemaal verdrink. En dis in die Here het al my verlede kom uitvee. Niks van dit het, die hele tyd is hy net besig om te sorg dat hy wil die beste vir my hê. En hy is regtig getrou in dit. En okay, maar in elk geval, die ander ding wat ek net moet sê, is ek het elke keer, as die Here, hy wil die hele tyd gesê het, en vooral hierdie hele week, is hy skryf in my kop van, roep my aan, en ek gaan jou vertel van groot goed, wat jy nie eers van weet nie. En, elke keer as ek vir die Here iets gevra het, het hy dit kom doen. En, soos, ek het een keer van my vra, weer die Here, wys vir my wie hier rarig is. En dit was in juni, na my eerste jaar, en die mens wat ek was iemand wat, ek het so gestres, dat ek kon eers 'n bladsy deurlees nie, want dan vergeet ek alles. En hy het dit kom verander, en hy het al hierdie goeders radikaal kom verander, en ek net is rarig dankbaar, en ek wil julle rarig encourage, dat julle rarig net met, want dis alles in ons kop, ons kan net rarig na hom toe gaan, en vir hom iets vra, soos wat mens vir 'n mens sal kan vra, en vertrou, want hy gaan jou antwoord. Ja.
Dankie, Barbara. Die van julle wat lesse wil hê en hoe om notes op julle hand te skryf en mooi te praat daaroor, ek dink ons moet almal vir Barbara vra, eendag sal ek my preke ook so hier op my hand skryf en so. David, are you ready to share something? The leg is fine, I see.
There's a lot of things that I really want to share, but then, I just want to share about, just testify about God's fatherhood. Like, it's just the name of my testimony there, just fathered by God. I really had a very rough, upbringing and stuff like that. My father died when I was 5. He was 66 when he died. He had a cardiovascular, but a heart problem, whatever. So I grew up really never said to anyone dead or what. So it was really hard for me in school and high school, everyone, people talking about their deaths and everything like that. And then I got saved. And then God told me, he really wants to show me his father, his fatherhood. He wants to father me. I mean, for me, it didn't make any sense suddenly this Jesus who saves me now, he wants to be my father and everything like that. And then, then I'll start things from last year. God told me to come to Bloemfontein. It didn't make sense for me to come to Bloemfontein. Jesus told me to come to Bloemfontein. Then from there, I came to Bloem. The day before I moved to Bloemfontein, they came into my house there in Stellenbosch in Soetewede. The old chauffeurs, and they stole from me. Tomorrow I'm leaving. And they took everything except for my ticket. They took it, but then I was like, yes, Lord Jesus. But then from there, next day I took a bus, I came to Bloemfontein. Okay, God, here I am. Came to Bloemfontein, I struggled a bit. And then from there, I don't know how to explain this, but yes, God really provides. God really meets your needs. God really meets. Yes, God's heart is really. I don't know how to explain this to me because it's so real, and so many things have happened that not everything that I wanted, but just God really. I don't know how to explain to you this, but I can say it a lot of times. But God really provides. God really provided for me. Got accommodation in Bloemfontein. Met some few people I knew there and them here. Stayed in Bloemfontein a bit. Then from there, I struggled to look for a job and everything for, I think, 6 months or something. was like, nee. Jesus Christ, nah, I call. Stellenbosch, everything was nice. I was playing volleyball, I was getting paid and everything like that. So, yeah. But then God is very faithful. I got a job. They sent on me. I got a job. But then I had a very, very, very rough time. Very, 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 very rough time. And then from there, yes, there's a lot of things that I really want to share. But then I got a job, which is something that I really wanted. After getting a job, I've been working nice and everything like that. And then the first 2 months that I was working at my job, and I decided to, sort of, I was working in a, what is it, lab. We were doing, breeding some fleas and everything like that. And then the boss, hallelujah, decided to make me go and look after cats and calm them and everything like that. Go work in the study. I mean, I was there for God providing for you. Then I went there, then they took me down to the lowest position that you can ever think of at work. Then I went there, I've been faithful, I've been serving even now. And then from there, in September, I twisted my knee. I twisted my knee very bad. My left knee, probably most of you saw me walking with crutches and everything. I was playing soccer, then I twisted my meniscus, I torn it there. And then from there, I couldn't go in for an operation or anything like that. I didn't have money. And then decided one day, I call. And I'm like, you know what? Went to the hospital, and then I got there, then I saw the, I can't remember that doctor's name. The orthopedic dead national. Then from there, he just told me, you know what, bro? It's a lot of money, but then if you really can't pay up, yes, there's nothing that he can do for you. Yes, then immediately when he said that, I just looked at there, just looked on the side there and just walked. And I came back and then we really went inside there to the nurses or whatever. Then he came to me and said, you know what? I'm giving you a date, bro. Next week, Monday, just come in for an op. I don't have to worry about anything. Because he said to me, if he's doing it private or whatever, it's going to cost me $40,000 just to fix that knee of mine. And from there, I said, yeah, okay, thank God. And from there, he just went in there, then they operated me. And then from there, my knee's fine. I'm jumping now. I can run a bit. But then, so yeah, I just wanted to testify really of God's greatness and faithfulness and really God really fathering me through everything that happened. And one thing, when I broke my knee, okay, this will sound a bit, I had so much peace. I don't know. But then I had so much peace that this is from God. Like, and it was really from God. When I broke my knee, when I was in the hospital there on the Monday, the Tuesday, I was booked for an operation on a Tuesday. Yo. I was just sitting there, and I just had this edge, just this deep desire to pray for my mom and my family and everything like that. I didn't know that my mom has been in the hospital that whole time for 2 weeks. She's been going out of hospital, ICU, about 2 weeks coming. And for me, I started praying. Then when I got off hospital that Wednesday, and they told me my mom was in hospital and everything like that. So then I started praying and everything. So my mom is getting better now. She got out, I think, 2 weeks back, 3 weeks back, I think. Yeah. She got out 3 weeks back in the hospital and stuff like that. And God really just wanted to show me that time of breaking my knee off. You know, most I made a covenant with God that I'm going to be a strong man for my family. I'm going to do that. So really, I'm very responsible in the sense of what I'm allowing to happen at my house. Of course, I mean, I can pray and just not allow the devil to do anything what I'm doing. I mean, that he's doing at my house. And so then from there, yeah, I got up. But in hospital there, then I've been praying, and then I was just reminded of this one guy telling me a book about this one preacher that his church was going through a rough time, and then God told him, he showed him a vision, I mean, of a dragon just coming into your church and doing whatever thing that he wants. I mean, the dragon was just moping around, but then the guy crying to God, but then Jesus couldn't do anything, just folding his hand. And then he said to him, I gave you every authority. I mean, you're the strong man, you're the head, you're everything that I've given you, my son. So you have every authority to allow what is coming in or what is going out of this house. So I was just reminded of that. And then I just started praying through, and things have been so much better at my family. And things have been very, 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 so much better. So I just want to testify that God can definitely do anything to get your attention as well on that point. He can even break your knee, he can even break anything just to grab you and to, because I know I'm very, I can't sit in the same place. I'm very hyper. What? I have a lot of energy. So yeah, I just want to testify of God's greatness and goodness over my life.
Esther, wil jy vinnig iets sê? Mikke, het sy dit voorberei. Hy delegeer lekker vir sy vrou. Goed.
Okay. Weet jy wat is Esther's story nie, maar ek het my eie story. So ek, hy moet maar kom praat as hy wil praat. I'll do this in English. Do we have English speaking people in the house tonight? I hope so. Okay. I'm sorry for those who've heard the story, and but I'm going to share it again. Maybe there's some bits that you haven't heard. I actually told Ter that I don't want to share it because there's obviously the majority students, and the last thing on your minds is obviously babies and stuff. So I actually don't want to share it. I didn't want to share it because I don't know. I wouldn't have really, connected with a message like this. But hopefully you can keep this in mind, and maybe 10 years or whatever down the line, you can reflect back and think about this. Because we really found when we were also doing the birth classes before the time, that there's so much negativity going about. It's scary. Even if you just, I don't know, about everything, about the birth itself, the delivery, the pregnancy, the breastfeeding afterwards, it's all so negative. It's everybody would like to tell you, how you must do it. And if they can just share a dramatic story with you, then, it's the highlight of their day. People love to share their, this thing that happened to them, and it's, they can really win an Oscar with their story, the way they describe it. And it got to a point that, it kind of discourages you, especially if you're in a time like that. Then obviously you're a little bit more anxious, and you know what's lying ahead of you. So about halfway through the pregnancy, I read a book that really challenged my faith. It's going to sound crazy. It's about a woman, and she just wrote a testimony in the book about how she gave birth supernaturally, painlessly. So I read the book, and it challenged my faith, and I didn't really catch the painless part. But anyway, so I just thought, I'll go with the supernatural part, and I really trusted God for a few things, certain things. And it also said in the book that, you don't have to be the most terrible person you could be during your pregnancy, because people just tell you, this is you are allowed to feel all these moods and to be a terrible wife. And, I don't want to go into detail, but I mean, you're just allowed anything. I mean, anything just goes because you're pregnant. And I went through a quite bad emotional patch. It was around June-ish, yeah. And then after I read the book, I decided I have to change my attitude, because this is not, I mean, this is a gift. This is not something that has to drag you down and has to, you have to be depressed, and you have to be, anxious and moody and everything and emotional. So everything changed for the better. I think I was extremely relieved after that, because he could, I could still, return to normal a little bit. But one of the verses that she also quotes in the book, I just want to read to you. It says, "And the midwife said to Pharaoh," it's Exodus 1 verse 17, "because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and gave birth before the midwives came to them." And it actually, I just decided I want to be lively. I don't want to, I don't want to die when I do this. I don't want to go through this excruciating event, and hopefully I never remember it. And I just want to get it over as soon as possible. And I really trusted God for a few things. We trusted Him for the people who would be in the room at that moment, and also for the birth itself. It would be quick, and it would be really manageable. And I wanted to get pain relief, obviously, since the start. I thought, obviously, I want to have that. And the book really challenged me in that way. So I decided, I'm going to try without it. And then, almost at the end, I said, it's unbearable. You have to give me something now. And she said, no, but the, what is narcotizer, anesthesist, you will only be able to get there once everything is done. So, well, yeah, so it was really, it was bearable. I would tell you it's really painful, but I just want to encourage you that I would do it tomorrow again exactly the same way. So girls, you hear horrible, 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 horrible stories. And the thing is, my reference was really bad because my mom had terrible experiences. So since I was little, I would hear about this, you know, terrible event. And my grandmother said, you know, when you think you're going to die, you are dying now, then the baby's there. So I thought, you know, this is some horrible experience. I just want to get it over with. They must really knock me out and then cut me open or whatever, you know. Just and that is the thing these days. People, girls or women, want to be as little involved as possible during the birth. They want to, you know, kind of just be on an island and then something must happen. So every, you know, each to his own. It's great. I mean, it's great that that the medical people can really help us in this regard. And I think, you know, I would probably take the pain relief if I knew beforehand. But it's something miraculous. And yeah, I just want to tell you the positive side of it. That's actually what I want to do now. And Alistair, just when they came and visited him and Esther just the week thereafter, he gave me the psalm. And this is just the way it was. This is just amazing, an amazing summary of the whole event and just everything during that time. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because a man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Okay, it also says, mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. And we really trusted the Lord for a quick and short delivery, and it was exceptionally fast. It was extremely fast. So it was, I mean, people couldn't believe when they heard that. And afterwards, the nurses really begged me to take the pain medicine. I promise you, I would not. I would really take pain medicine when I have pain. I promise you, I would. You don't want to have any more. You know, you're done with it. So you would definitely take pain medication. But I had not a drop of pain, not an inch of pain. So it was amazing. I mean, just after that, I had no pain. I can just testify of that. And just everything, and the people who were with us in the room, it was amazing. It was really a holy moment. I don't know if that can be holy ever, but it was really. And I just remember Tad telling me, like almost at the end, he said, "This is the way you wanted it to be." And it is. I know I'm probably making it more spiritual than it is. And when I was as old as you are, I really never thought it could be a holy thing or it could be a spiritual thing, but it's one of I don't know if it's probably the most spiritual thing, but it's that I've ever been a part of in my life. It's really, it's an amazing thing, and for the girls and obviously for the guys, because the men are really involved these days, it's really something to look forward to and be positive about it. You can even start praying about it now and really, you know, put your faith out for that. I want to encourage you. And so if you hear 2,000 negative stories a little bit later on in your life, just remember this one positive one, because they are far and few between. And I just want to give the Lord all the glory, because I really did not have great expectations for this, and it was amazing, y'all. Amen.
Wie is opgewonde om kinders te hê? Waar is Johan en Alicia? Waar is al die ander getroudes? Wat is dit net hulle so? You guys, the rest of you will get excited, as Bika said, one day. But praise the Lord for even the little details. It just shows us that if we, according to our faith, even if you maybe have a bad expectation, if you say, Lord, this is what I believe you can do, and you believe it, God will give it to you. Okay, he does it according to our faith. So that's really encouraging.